The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Totally Tremendous, Titanic, and Top Notch Thursday, as we are touched by the terrificness of the glory of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? We're not doing Expository Thursday. Got delayed a whole week because we had technical problems yesterday, so I didn't get to share yesterday what I'm going to share today. What was that? Was that a little sound? Oh, that was a good one. Let's see. We're going to start today's show with an amazing passage on expectations. What matters most is what Jesus says about expecting, not what other people say. Next up, what it's like to walk in a victory parade. Have you ever walked in a victory parade? Wouldn't it be sweet? Wouldn't it be sweet to walk in a victory parade, right? Like you're the champions, right? Well, it will be sweet, and it is sweet. Both. You're going to find out how. And finally, we know that we can get discouraged about downtimes, but the key ingredient is that the downtimes always turn up.
While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations of my life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. How much more? Just like Abraham. That much more. You're thinking, well, how does that work? Because Abraham knew a lot. So a lot more. Ha! There you go. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? You can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Terrific, Tierra T, ready for the phone. Ready to grab it. She's ready to grab that phone, pick it right up. Also, if you want to text, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. Let's start off with a little bit of an easy one, just to get people rolling. What type of coin did Judas accept as payment for betraying Jesus? What type of coin was it? Okay, looking for the metallic element. Text 214-210-8483, or you're welcome to call us 972-445-0770. Keep in mind, any topic is open for conversation. Why? Well, because it's not professional radio, because I'm not a professional. And this is, I don't even know if this is radio. What do you think? Is this radio? I'm thinking.
I thought this was the news.
Oh, well, now we're really in trouble. This is two cans stuck together with a string.
That's like what the, this, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? My can, though, is SpaghettiOs. I'm just saying. Mine's
is raviolis.
Okay.
All right.
See how we are? We're like pasta alike. See, that's important. Okay, so if you know what kind of coin, I'm not looking for anything but the actual metallic element to it, so don't overthink this one. What type of coin was it that Judas got paid on? Don't forget, you are welcome to reach out to us throughout the show. Prayer requests, praise reports, maybe pop questions. We had some people, Eric asked me some pop questions I'm going to try and deal with next week. Bottom line is, the show, it's open to everybody. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. I have so much to share. I have too much going on. That's good and that's bad, right? It's a good and a bad thing. First and foremost, I need everybody to relax. Everybody take a deep breath. Sorry we had our technical problems yesterday. That does happen. So just because of that, and in lieu of those technical problems, I'm going to offer up a joke. And then Tierra will either let us know if it's good or bad, or whether you think it's good or bad.
Okay, very funny. An atheist complained to a Christian friend, "You Christians have special holidays, such as Christmas and Easter. And the Jewish people celebrate their national holidays, such as Passover and Yom Kippur. But we atheists have no recognized national holiday. It's unfair discrimination." His friend replied, "Why don't you guys celebrate April 1st? Because it's April Fool's Day. Oh, come on, come on. Got to think about that one. That's pretty good. All right. On this day in history, let's see. Well, before we get to the history, let's talk about what these days are. Today is Freedom from Fear of Speaking Day. Did you know that speaking in front of an audience is the number one fear on the planet? And you think, well, how can that be? How can't it be death? Because people believe in Jesus, and they're not afraid to die. And other faiths have eternity connected to them, and that's how that works. Today is also Made in the USA Day, which means if it's made in the USA, it's made in the United States of America versus maybe made in, like, I don't know, China, something like that. And then the other thing which I thought was fascinating is today is I Forgot Day. I'm sorry, what was I saying?
I forgot.
I forgot. This is one of the reasons, by the way, for those that don't know, that part of the show is in the liner. We talk about Steve Martin. He had the best line. I've never heard a line funnier than this in ages. I saw Steve Martin live, 8th Row Center, Pine Knob, when I was a younger boy. And he had this great line. He goes, they asked me about my taxes. This is a joke. They asked me about my taxes. And they say, you haven't paid taxes in like 10 years. So, you want to explain that? And he goes, simple. I gave him this answer. I forgot.
How funny is that?
I forgot. It's great. All right. Couple things I got to tell you. On this day in 1962, the first Walmart store officially opened for business. That's good to know. Also, on this day in 1992, the 1 millionth Corvette rolled off the assembly line. So for those that are into that, it's like, wow, that's kind of a cool thing. The second half of the year begins today. It ended yesterday, the first half. Now the second half begins. And then here is just, you just can't believe this stuff. Two things I'll tell you. One real quickly. First woman executed in the United States by American courts on 1778 on this day. The only reason I brought this up is her name, Bathsheba Spooner. Come on. She was saying she conspired with her boyfriend and two others to kill her husband. Okay. They killed him and put the body in what's called Spooner's Well. It's like, wow. And then finally, I just have to do this dig because it's funny. Declaration of Independence. Continental Congress voted on this day to adopt the resolution of the independence, Declaration of Independence. The vote was unanimous, except for New York, which should tell you everything you ever want to know. New York abstained. They voted on the resolution again on the 9th, but on the 4th it was adopted, and that's how we have July 4th as our Independence Day. Leave it to New York. What is the problem?
They would be the one.
They would be the one that goes, that's right. We are stepping out for a Coney Island dog. Cannot help you. It's like, what's going on there? All right, let's get into the scripture, into the text. I want to talk to you about this very important element. Jesus was working with his disciples, and he had come down from the mountain, if you'd remember, and they had brought him somebody to heal. And here's what Jesus said, because they didn't believe it. And this is the Father describing what's going on. When the Spirit possesses or seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the Spirit, and they couldn't do it. "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him to Jesus. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions, and he fell on the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has it been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into the fire, into the water, and tried to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," Jesus said, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." So there's something that I want you to catch that is important as a Christian that you should know. And that is faith, belief, okay, is a powerful tool in the life of a believer. And one of the things that came up is the father
having a son, being desperate for his son, which any father would be, any loving father anyway, was like, if you can do anything. And then Jesus replied, if I can do, if I can do this. And then Jesus made this statement, everything is possible for the one who believes. Now, he's not saying everything is possible as in you can stick an atom bomb up your nose. He's talking about in your situations, having God step in and intervene, anything is possible. You can't tell God what he can and cannot do. You can't put a limit there. The problem for people is that they often don't believe. And because they don't believe, they don't receive. And even the Father recognized that when he says to Jesus, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. The Father was honest enough to say, you know, I have inside of me, Jesus, a little bit. But my problem is I have this unbelief that's right next to it, and they're canceling each other out. The reason that Jesus said you only need faith like a mustard seed is because you don't need a lot of faith, but you need faith that is not canceled out by doubt. So the faith has to overwhelm or overcome the doubt within you in order to be exercised properly, in order to be used properly. So when Jesus said you only need a mustard seed, the whole point in that is you just need a little bit of faith. It's just got to be faith alone, not diluted by doubt, not by diluted by this negative approach, not diluted by I'm going to throw something up against the wall, hope it sticks kind of attitude. That's not faith. That's throwing something up against the wall and hoping it sticks. Okay, that's not faith. Faith is genuinely believing that anything is possible for him that believes through the Lord, and that the Lord can and will respond. It cannot be diluted or polluted by doubt or by anything else that can reduce its power. In other words, if you try to mix faith with doubt, you know what you come up with? Nothing. They cancel each other out. It's like having a plus one and having a minus one, and in math, you put them together, what do you get? Zero. You don't get anything. That's what happens. Your minus one is your doubt. Your plus one is your faith. You put them together, over. So what you want to do is you want to have a plus one all by its lonesome, all by itself. All right, we come back. We're going to dive into that. I love that the Father was honest enough to go, I believe it's just I'm struggling on the other part. By the way, the answer to the question, what type of coin did Judas accept as payment for betraying Jesus? That type of coin was silver, the 30 silver coins, just to keep that fresh in your mind. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Or the president of Focus on the Family. When you got that position, I'm talking the initial moment that you knew you were getting that position, were you thinking, what?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Given my background, I was going, no, no, no. In fact, I got home, said to my wife, Jean, this is what I've been asked today. And she looked at me and said, who would have thunk it? That summed it up. That was that entire day. I was just like, oh, my goodness. My wife and I used to pray for the poor guy coming behind Dr. Dobson.
Now you were praying for yourself. You didn't even know it.
That's exactly right. Does he have a sense of humor or what?
That's great stuff. Excellent material and an excellent interview, Jim. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and I just want to thank you from my whole heart just for all the work that you're doing, for the people that you're blessing, and for this project that you guys have been working on Irreplaceable. Nice job.
Thanks, David.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know that if you want to reach out to us, you can do so by calling 972-445-0770. Last time I checked, even though we've had power issues, it will not give you a mild shock. So, I mean, that's good to know. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Here is our next trivia question. Ooh, okay. In the book of James, what does James say we should do when we are making our future plans? Referring to James chapter 4. What does James say under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we should do when we're making our future plans? Those that will go here for a year, there for a year, buy, sell, so on and so forth. What is it that we are really supposed to do? What is that spirit that we're supposed to have? How are we supposed to approach the Lord? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770, or you can text to 214-210-8483. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We were off yesterday, but we are back alive today. And don't forget the giving element, because we came up a little behind, but not too behind. We were able to still pay the bills, but we're a little behind. And it's important for me to have gas money to come down here. So I'm going to tell you, so do the best you can. If you can help, great. If you can't, don't worry about it. We still pray that God blesses you mightily, and we ask that you be praying for us, of course. If you want to participate, you can go on the website, hemustincrease.org, and give directly through the website in like three different spots. Email David at hemustincrease.org. That's a fantastic way to get a hold of us. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Looks like we got somebody calling in, and I think that will be fine. We'll see what we can do is before we get into the very next segment in regards to faith and expectations. So I'm really looking forward to getting into that. So bottom line for people to remember, though, on that website, there's a lot of new, different, cool stuff on a pretty regular basis. I encourage you to check it out. Again, nobody found the kitchen sink. I'm kind of wounded. Kind of wounded there. I will let you know that I did get a grade back on my paper. For those that don't know or don't listen to the show often, I'm in a PhD program. In our PhD program, if you don't get 81 or above, you fail. That's, you're thinking, what? Yeah. So that's kind of a high bar for us, I think. And so I got my grade back, and all I can say is for the class thus far, looks like I'm going to pass, so that's kind of nice. That's kind of a nice thing. Okay.
Okay. John wanted to answer the question, and he said it was on God's willing. On God's willing.
Yeah, and so how that's correct. And the way that goes is You know, James says, you know, what is it that we should say to the Lord? And the answer is, if the Lord will, we will do this, and I will do this, and I will do this. And others, people get up and they get, it's just an arrogance for people. You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to accomplish this, and this is this, and this is this. And the scripture says, yeah, if the Lord will, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do that. And if the Lord wills, he won't do that. I was just thinking about this the other day. Don't get mad when I say stuff like this, folks. It's not intended to offend you. But, you know, we have great poetry and great writings in all of our society and in our quote-unquote enlightened society. One of the biggest things is that we are the master or commander of our fate. And my biblical response is right up until a safe falls on your head, and then you're not the master of your fate anymore. And that's my point is, to a degree, the Lord will let you choose, guide, and direct. Still got to be submitted to the Lord for his approval, right? So there you go. Good job conveying that, T.
Not a problem. John also wants to say that he admires your non-judgmental and, like, whimsical and sarcastic voice. He says you have a great show.
I appreciate that. Whimsical and sarcastic. You know, I had a kid call up when I was doing the show in San Diego. I'm a kid. I'm as in like a 14-year-old. And we had people from 12 to 92 listening to the show. And the kid said, "You sound like a Muppet."
Not the Muppet.
Yeah. You gave me a Muppet line. It's like, well, if I'm like a Muppet, so which one, Grouchy or no? That's not Grouchy. Is that one of the seven dwarfs? I can't remember. One of the Cookie Monster. Okay, I'll be Cookie Monster. I'm good for that.
Cookie Monster. What about Big Bird or like Elmo?
Wait a minute. I know I have a large schnoz, but come on now.
It's all just right. The way he talks.
Yeah, I know. I was just giving you trouble. trouble.
Just trouble.
All right, here we go. So we're talking about expectations and recognizing as Christians that there is a belief system. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with you having a high level of expectation. In fact, there's everything right with it. Let's just look at some passages so that we can know we're not basically losing our mind. Matthew 21:21, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to this fig tree, but also you can say this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done for you." Is that hyperbole? Maybe, but I think the point is, and probably, but I think the point is that Jesus is trying to say, look, there's nothing that can stop you from moving forward. In Matthew 17:20, he says, "Because you have so little faith, this didn't work. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." We can't get people to believe that God's going to help provide rent, let alone move a mountain. Okay? We can't get people in the faith to believe that God is going to fix or help or work with people in a relationship or in a character flaw, let alone move a plane from point A to point. You can't believe on the most base thing. And I think Jesus is trying to make this very clear point. What up with this? How could you not believe? God has given you life when you didn't deserve it, granted you breath, saved you 1,000 times from death, and has given you all these great blessings. How could you not believe him? And in fact, the expectation level of Scripture, if you go between, actually if you go through Genesis all the way through, but so much so in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be unto God who always leads us as captives in Christ into triumphal procession." Triumphal procession is a victory parade. That's what it is. National champion football team, they have a parade. That's the triumphal procession. Sports is a great analogy because they always throw parades. Or something really great happens and somebody saves the day, they throw a parade. Da, 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 da. That's a triumphal procession. It's a procession of victory. And so in our servitude to Christ, he always leads us into a victory march. And he uses that to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. In other words, he uses that as a testimony or as a witness. My point in that is that this level of faith that a lot of us have is really kind of shy. It's really, I don't know if I'm going to go as far as say it's insulting, but I got to think it's right there because of all the things that God has done for us, is doing for us, and will do for us. Our level of expectation on the Lord, when we're praying, should be a lot higher than, well, I'm just going to quote this model, I'm just going to pray this way because I know I'm supposed to, and then that's that. It's like, you should be praying, believing that God is going to respond to that. I mean, it does say, ask, and you will receive. It doesn't say, ask, we'll kick it around up in heaven, have a volleyball tournament, have a little barbecue, then we'll send you a note and get back to you. It's not what it says. I know that's what a lot of people think it says. It's just not what it says. Ask, seek, and you will find, and knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And so it's really kind of fascinating, because in those ask, seek, and find, the ask part is the humility of petition when you come before the Lord and recognize it's got to be through his hand. The seek part is the discovery of God through the process and his will as you're doing that. And the knock part is persistence. And it's like, that's how you should be doing it, because God will respond to you and he'll do it. But what God doesn't enjoy in his kids are people that shrink back, not just from the faith, but shrink back from faith. You can't just believe that God is and then just leave it there. You have to go deeper than that. I mean, you have to understand it's not just that level of knowing that there is a God, it's knowing God. You have to go into those deeper frameworks and those deeper levels. And in your faith, you and I should turn up the notch. Well, there's a button right there. Turn that expectation notch up. I'm not talking about that application being in all those weird things that everybody freaks out and writes books on. I'm just talking about your day-to-day life. There should be a higher level of expectation that God engages with you, guides you, cares about you, walks with you, loves you, and responds to you. Now, he rarely does it in the timing. That's the one thing I'll tell you right now. Put that one. Take your watch, take it off your hand, and then pray. Because you're thinking God's going to respond in your time frame. Now, that's pretty funny. Okay, but my point in this and the premises is understand that God responds to your faith. He loves your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Those who come to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those who seek him. Faith is the avenue by which we receive grace, by which we engage with mercy, and by which salvation comes to our lives. We engage to that by this faith, by this confidence, this trust in God. Well, that expectation is in that mix. You see what I'm saying? And so you want to add that in. You want to, when you're praying, don't pray and say, I'm going to pray. I just don't really think you're going to do anything. Then don't pray. And we go play dominoes. I don't know. You know, play canasta. I don't know how to play canasta.
I don't even know what canasta is.
It's some kind of card game or something. Or something. I don't know. Anyhow, let's keep that in mind as we go through this process. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back. And what I want people to really catch on to, what I really want you to get, is that this faith needs to be active in our lives consistently. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Is because heaven is not some statuesque place where people go there and then freeze. Wait, I'm in heaven. I'm standing. Nope, I can't sit. Wait, no, I'm in heaven. I'm sitting. No, wait, I can't stand. Where does that kind of concept of heaven come from? Well, is he standing or is he sitting? I'm going to go with he's doing both. He's standing on this one. He's sitting on this one. Over there, he could be doing a Scooby-Doo act. I don't know what he's doing. All I know is that heaven is not about frozen people that don't move. And if we don't get a better handle on what heaven is, we're going to lose our communication of our hope to a hope that's based on 72 virgins, which guarantees you after 73 times, it's not the fun it was the 72 times. It's so ridiculous. And that's the hope we're not winning on? You have got to be kidding me.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Just thinking about this intro music, my wife and I were in the car, and I said, you know how you'll drive and you have access, like with YouTube or whatever through Google and stuff. So I said, you know, play Ishmael United. And my wife goes, no. I go, what do you want to watch? She goes, play this and this. I go, well, that's not Ishmael United. She was like, no,
she
I don't want to hear that.
Not having it.
No, she doesn't like it. My music is like from the 70s and 80s, and the Christian music is like kind of rare for a lot of people. Keep in mind, if you want to reach us, 972-445-0770 is the phone number to call. And then the number to text, 214-210-8483. Let's throw up our next. Well, that's probably not the way to say that. Let's throw up our next trivia question. Hey, I'm working on it, folks. What was the covenant between God and Noah? Not what was the sign of the covenant. Okay, that's the rainbow. And that was between God and Noah, not 20th and 21st century people, you know, in the streets. What was the actual covenant? What was it the rainbow said? What was the identification from the rainbow? That's the question. If you know, you're welcome to call. You're also welcome to text 214-210-8483. Website, hemustincrease.org. Hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. And YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Let's do a joke. You may as well get the... You ready?
No!
That's the kind of love and support we have here. You can tell a joke, I'm leaving. All right, here we go. These are about pastors speaking about a revival that they had. After the revival in the city concluded, three pastors were discussing the results with one another. The Methodist minister said, "That revival worked out great for us. We gained 4 new families." The Baptist preacher said, "Ha, we did better than that. We gained 6 new families." The Pentecostal pastor said, "Well, we did even better than that. We got rid of the 10 biggest troublemaking families there were." Did you get that? That's kind of what happens. Revival, one church to another. Okay, I think it's funny. You just have to live with it, folks. Here we go, talking about faith, talking about our understanding and our receptivity and our expectation level. If you ever saw the movie Spinal Tap, you'll know that they went to 11 in the volume. That means it's one louder. I need you to take your expectation from a 10 to 11. I need you to move it up. Listen to this passage, and then I'll remind you of a famous sermon
that many of you have heard about. Psalm 30, verse 4, I'm going to pick it up in. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I'll never be shaken. Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. When you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. I cried for mercy. What is gained if I'm silent, if I go down into the pit? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing and removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing and praises may go up to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. This psalm is it's just a great psalm about going through the hard time, but then coming back out the other side. And what happens is, for people to tell you you'll never go through a difficult time, you'll never go through tribulation, it's not even scriptural. The Bible says through many tribulations, one must enter the kingdom of God. I mean, it's just part of the process and part of that growing. In fact, growing up, we have a phrase called growing pains. And that growing pains, and yes, I know they did a show about it, but growing pains, they're pains. They're pain. It's painful. Okay, I don't know why people, ow. And growing up takes a little bit, right? But the Lord works it in our lives so that all that we go through, no matter how difficult it is through the night, it's something new in the morning. It's something new that's coming. And there's a great famous sermon about it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. Friday is the day that Jesus was crucified and that he died. Sunday is the day that he rose from the dead. So people are like, well, how's that 3 days? Because in the Jewish process, one part of a day is considered a full day. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's 3 days. That's how it works. And so the idea there is to understand, doesn't matter. What you're missing is that you're going into this, and it might be a dark evening, but it'll be a bright morning. And there's even a testimony in what? In nature. Nighttime, sun goes down. Morning, sun comes up. There you go. That's a testament. And let me tell you something. There will be people that will have to answer to that. God will say, that was my testimony. Couldn't have missed it. Impossible. And so it might be Friday, but Sunday's coming. It might be down, but there's joy coming. It might be really hard, and it might be wailing, and it may be crying, but it's going to be changed into dancing. And it's going to be changed into clothing of distress to clothing of joy. The scripture even says in Isaiah, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There's this mindset that we have to have that even if you are going through, there's something coming. And when Jesus went through what he went through, Hebrews chapter 12, pretty clear that he endured the cross, despising the shame because of the joy that was set before him. What was coming will get him out. Well, God isn't just a what's coming eternity God. He's a what's coming situationally God. And even though it's hard and dark and difficult, it's going to turn. And it's going to go a different direction because the hand of God is in your life. And people sit around, there's a lot of pouting. But we need to get past the pouting process. We need to be a little bit more praiseful, a little bit more expectant for the deliverance. I mean, I'm not taking away from anybody's pain. In fact, we have a gal in our class, and I'm telling you, she was sharing. You know, when you get into this level, you really start to share like your personal life in these discussion boards. And she was sharing. I mean, she just went through. Her father passed away. Her sister just got a divorce and has to move with her. Her daughter's coming back because she's pregnant. I mean, she's going through like 9 things. But she writes, there's something coming. The Lord is not, as dark as this is, as hard as this is, as mournful as this is, there's a praise that's coming out of my mouth because of what God is going to do. That expectation, folks, that one. Romans 8, 31 through 37. What shall we say in response to all these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised
to life is at the right hand of the Father and interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Look at that. Well, look at his list. Trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. He's like, no, no. That expectation level of God helping should be high. Why? Because he's a God of comfort. And what he allows, he has purpose to. And you might say, well, I don't understand the purpose. That's right. You don't understand. That's what faith is. That's what trust is. You're not putting that faith and trust in a human. You're putting that faith and trust in the creator of the universe. And if he went to all that trouble just so that you can breathe on a planet, maybe he's got a little bit more in mind. If you put everything structurally exactly where it needs to be so our rotation is perfect so nothing gets out of line, 23 and a half degrees on the moon kind of thing, then maybe he's got something more in line for you. That he's not just doing that to say, oh, well, now let's see what happens to him. Oh, who saw that coming? Not me. Well, that's not what God's doing. He's working in our lives, weaving. He's already, you know, he knows the end from the beginning, so he already knows what that's going to be. But he's already put his fingerprints on all these different processes and parts of our lives, including your deliverance. It was David who said, put my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my heart. Looking for that, expecting, concentrating on, focusing on and anticipating the delivering hand of God. And I say this often. People say to me, well, Dave, you don't know how bad the situation is. Wrong. You don't know how big God is. That's the issue. And stop getting caught up in all these things. The world's got its own messy problems. I'm talking about you personally. Don't sit there and anticipate God's like, well, I'm on vacation. So, you know, I'm going to send, you know, Batman and Robin to help you. I mean, what is he thinking? This is the creator of the universe. He loves you. He chose you. He picked you. You wouldn't even know him if it wasn't for him. You wouldn't even be breathing if it wasn't for him. So he's going to do nothing? Wrong. He's going to help you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to lift you up. He's going to move you into a new place. Put a new song in your heart. Put your feet upon a rock and give you a new hope and a new direction and a new firmness of faith. That's what you got to look forward to, okay? All right, the covenant, by the way, between God and Noah for the rainbow was never to flood the earth again. That was what the covenant was. Folks, you are listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
An important part is to understand the Philistine rulers were political leaders. They were political leaders. They got together for a political solution. That's what happened. That's what happened. The priests got together and made a decision. Instead of trying to overcome the power of God, they thought they'd make an offering to God, return the ark to Israel. That spiritual solution worked. Got that? So political rulers making political decisions, failure. Priests making an offering to God and returning things to their proper place. Solution. That's the key, people. I think that's the key. That's what we need. That's why we need a strong spiritual core in the church. Not just you in your church, but the church in large. Trust me.
Trust me when I say this. When they start shooting Christians because we're Christians, when it becomes more like China and they start beating us because we're Christians, the denominational issue will fade to the white.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget, you can go to livinginhisgrip.com to get some of the free music for our intro and exit music under the hymn, H-Y-M-N Project. All right. We got one more trivia question. One more. Let's see what we can do on this one. Not an easy one. Just telling you ahead of time. If you think you know the answer to this one, you can text us 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. All right, so on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us that we're supposed to love our enemies. What action does he ask us to take towards our enemies on the Sermon on the Mount? We're told we're supposed to love our enemies. What action? So there's something that he wants us to do. There's a doing, not just a listening. There's an actual functioning of doing. We encourage you, if you think you know the answer, to call us, 972-445-0770, or text us, 214-210-8483. Don't forget about our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. By the way, there you can also put a contact us thing. That works too. And then email david@hemustincrease.org, Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Yay. All right. Let's see. Keep me in prayer. Got a lot going on. I'm already in my next class while I'm still finishing the last class, but I am glad that I am done with the major class. Incredible stuff. Okay, let's take our next phone call. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, this is John, David.
Hi, John. How are you?
All right. How's it going?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, I'm looking forward to the weekend and done with one class, and even though I'm going into another, at least I get a couple days off.
How's the PhD study doing?
Yeah, it has its ups and downs. That's what, okay. I would tell you. It has, right. I had one paper that had 65 citations. It was like,
oh my.
Yeah, that was a lot. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Do you know what the Lord asked us to do for our enemies? What is it we're supposed to do for them?
I think we're supposed to pray for them, that those who despitefully use us and...
That is correct. You are exactly right. You're supposed to pray for them. Now listen to this. You're supposed to pray for them. Now watch this. And do good to them. So we're supposed to pray for them and do good. So in other words, if you have an enemy and there's a situation and you're like, oh, I can get them back. It's like, no. That's not the right. That's not what the Lord wants, because the Lord can always get us back. And we don't want that.
No way.
Excellent job. Excellent job, my friend. I appreciate it. I appreciate you calling
in. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great job. And we had people texting in. Great answer. That's right. It's pray for our enemies. And so here's one of the things that somebody had taught me when I was younger, and I've only kind of used it, but the scripture kind of really hammers it home. But he did say, if you really want to connect to somebody that you dislike, really pray for them. Pray for their successes and so on and so forth. If you do that, then when they do well, you'll really mean it. I mean, it'll really be there. I always thought that's a really profound and much more mature than David is advice. So I like stuff like that. But pray for your enemies and do good to them. That's the key right there. Let's wind this down. We're talking about faith. No greater example, I think, of faith than when you talk about David facing Goliath. Because in this situation, while a lot of people don't understand, and there is some difference to opinion on whether he was 9'3" or 9'6", the reality check is, over all of humanity, there have been many people that have been 7'11", 7'11". I mean, not a lot more than you would think. And if you think about big people, you think Shaquille O'Neal, big guy. I mean, I used to watch Shaq all the time. Huge guy, just a big, big, big guy, right? Well, Goliath was 2 feet bigger. So you just kind of think, yowza. That would make you go, wow. You know, it's kind of like Star Wars when they had to take the little flyers and go around the legs of those little – it's like you got to think in those terms. So here's David, and when Goliath saw him, here's what it says. He looked at David, and he saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome and despise him. And Goliath said, am I a dog that you come to me with these sticks? I mean, this is how Goliath saw David. And he said, come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut your head off. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. So in a lot of people's minds, they think of this David and Goliath story, and they think of David, and David's maybe back, like, you know, closer to the men, and he's like, I'm gonna get you. God's going to help me. And then puts a rock in there and then swings the rock and gets lucky. And this is not what happened. So, I mean, I'm just trying to help you see what's going on. David could see that Goliath was huge. I mean, it's not like it doesn't say David had no vision. So you can see this guy's 9 feet tall. He's enormous, right? But when David saw, he didn't, you know, even strategically try to approach. He didn't go left or right, left or right. He ran straight towards him. Then he stopped right at the distance where he knew he could hit with the best, swung the sling, hit him with the rock straight in the head. The Lord guided it through. The Goliath, I mean, you can tell. He didn't know what was coming. Bam, David nails him. And the bottom line is that God helped David get the victory because David approached Goliath with the mindset that God was with him. And that he was going to overcome him. I got news for you. Before he ran towards him, and while Goliath calls him out, you know, David has to use faith right then and there. The faith isn't as much as after he throws the rock. It's everything leading up to the rock being tossed, or the stone being tossed. In other words, from the moment he stood against Goliath to the moment he let that stone go, in that time frame was the essence of David's faith. Once that rock or once that stone was let go, nothing, it's out of David's hands. Gone. He already shot it. He can't move the stone once it's been launched. But it was everything up to that. And why I bring that up, it's really profound, is we need to have that level of faith prior to the main moment. Not after. If you have faith after, it's not really faith. It's just acknowledging God did something cool. That's not faith. He did it. It's like, it's everything leading up to it. It's running towards the enemy. It's seeing how big this enemy is and going, doesn't matter. Because God is bigger. And that is true. In this sense, I had a pastor from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was talking on the phone, and we were talking about this issue and kind of difference of opinion that some people were having and so on and so forth. He goes, really, it doesn't matter. He says, God in one person is a majority. It's like, Okay. That's like, that's a great way to see things. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And who cares? I mean, just like you just do it in the Lord. It's not that that gives you the right to be arrogant, but it gives you the right to have faith. It gives you the right to believe. And if you're walking with the Lord, it certainly gives you that comfort and that protection. I know things get hard. I know they get tough. But I also know that God delivers us from those things. You know, I'm not young in the faith. I'm not wise and old in the faith, but I'm not young in the faith. I know the Lord is faithful. He gives. He grants. He's merciful. You get a 1 Corinthians 15 or a 15:57, which has to do with salvation, but you cannot help but quote it in your mind. Thanks be unto God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it has to do with salvation, but it also has to do with life. Because God leads us that way. Because he's merciful that way. Because he's passionate about us. But we have to stay in him and have a level of expectation. If God said, look, I'm going to give you all this stuff, do all this wonderful stuff, but you have to use faith to make it operational. You have to use faith to make it work. Okay. I believe you, Lord. That's what makes it like Abraham. Abraham, I'm going to give you this unbelievable ancestry, lineage that's going to come after you. You're going to be the ancestor of all these great people, all these great things. Okay. And this is when he was childless. But that okay, it was real. So real that God miraculously poured life into him and Sarah. It's just like, wow, that's so cool. That's what he wants to do for you. Is it going to be as big as Abraham? I don't know. Once you believe God and then find out. Aha! Challenge thrown down. Thank you very much. Just think of it that way. Raise that expectation from a 10 to an 11. Okay? Because that's louder. Okay? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short 23-hour break, then we'll be back for more. Talk to you then.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running, running and running.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.